Okay, let's talk about being illuminated today. You know, when you're teaching God's Word, which we've been teaching the book of Hebrews, and within the 10th chapter, it stipulates there that used to there was sacrifices again and again and again, offering the blood of animals. Christ was crucified, that's it. There is no more sacrifice after that. And those that are enlightened, those that are looking forward to that day, I'm quoting scripture now, and turn away after they are understand that fact that Christ is the final sacrifice and have been enlightened, that means knowing the truth. Example, knowing and understanding the first six chapters of Genesis. Do you realize how few people actually understand God's Word? Those that are enlightened and do understand, if they turn their back on the Christ, then there's no more sacrifice. Why? He's it. You turn your back on Him, you're out. Period. That's it. Now, our Father is a loving God, and some say He winks at ignorance, be that as it may. I don't want to be taking chances like that, and I praise God for His enlightenment. But this word, to be illuminated, as it's written in that 10th chapter, is kind of a special word, and it's a word that it requires more time. Only time that a particular word is translated, illuminated, in the Word of God. That is to say, the New Testament, the Greek word. But it's an interesting word in as much as it's a word of action. It doesn't mean just to be illuminated. It means to give off rays. It means to shine. You see, this is what Christians are supposed to do, to give off light when you're illuminated. It's to teach others how to give off life simply by your example. You're just being. The fact that He is in you, that your countenance changes. Have you ever noticed that? You know, you have a different outlook on life. And you want to put aside those things that take away from your life. So, and the word happens to come from the word phos, like phosphorus. You know how bright phosphorus is. And the word is photizo. It is only translated to be illuminated one time. But photizo is used several other times. Not a lot, but a few other times in the Word of God. And in as much as it means to shed rays, to shine, or to brighten, to bring or give light, you kind of need to know what it is you're supposed to do. When you are enlightened, that's just axiomatic, that you do those things, that you give off those rays. Rays of hope. Why? You got the truth. You're blessed with it. So I'm going to pick it up here in Hebrews chapter 10, if I may. Verse 31. This is just after those that recognize that day. What day? The Lord's day, which is to say the millennium. And if you understand the millennium, that's one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. All right? And that's how she crumbles. But the part about looking forward to that day, verse 25, those that willfully, after they that we receive the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice, verse 26. Skip on with me as we come to verse 31. We'll pick it up there. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That is to say, and here you can apply both meanings. It's reverence to fall into His hands if you're with Him. But you better fear if you are against Him, or if His wrath is stirred against you, you got trouble. Okay? Verse 32. But call to remembrance. You shake the old gray matter up a little bit. The former days. That means how it was at the first. When that sacrifice, the only sacrifice, was given, that's to say Christ on the cross, in which after you were illuminated, and there is the word phothizo. You endured a great fight of afflictions. Once you're illuminated, sometimes your old friends don't want that much to do with you, okay? It will cause controversy. It will cause you problems. Why? You're giving off rays, rays of hope, rays of truth, rays of encouragement. You can't help it. Once you receive the truth and know it, if someone comes to you in trouble, they know who to go to. People in this world know who they're drawn to, those that stand on a solid platform, and that platform happens to be Christ. And you're going to stand on that, and people can see through your countenance and your actions that you are. Does that mean you're perfect? No, I don't really know anybody that's perfect. But when the chips are down and the going gets rough, you're one to ride with, okay? That's what you want to observe in people. That's why in the Marine Corps, as my old buddy back there will tell you, we shake out the weak before we ever go to battle. I mean, we get rid of them. Why? Well, it's a bad time in rough combat to find out you've got a wimp with you. He'll get you hurt. So Christ doesn't have wimps either. That is to say, people that can't have faith to try. Well, if I could just be sure, I'm sorry, you're out. There's no such thing as partly believing. You either believe or you don't, so face up to it. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. You can't have, it's very difficult to have a little bit of faith without having a lot. Why? Well, if you believe, you believe. And what do you have faith in? That Christ was the Son of God. You don't, you'd be surprised. I don't know whether I want to use this or not. My second nature is nibbling at me, saying you would have been better off not to bring this up, but I will anyway. I could go down here to a bar and drag some old boy out of there that hadn't been to church in 10 years and tell him Christ never existed. I don't believe it. You're liable to get your gourd thumped, friend. I'm talking about Christian-born people, all right? You can get a fight started real quick, you know, because he's going to resent what you say, even if he is in a beer hall enjoying a cool Coors Mountain Kool-Aid. You know, he's going to get upset, and you just better give him another Coors and hope it settles him down, all right, and tell him you were just teasing, or something like that. You know, like I said, my second nature told me to stay away from that one, but the Holy Spirit rules, all right? Okay, so when you're illuminated, you make a difference to people, and they're going to make a stand, and that is the important thing. It all lies back in verse 25, when you see that day approaching. We're seeing the millennium approach today. It's coming. We're in the end times. That's obvious. Scripture after scripture documents it. So be careful, friend. 33. Partly whilst you made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, when you joined up with other people that were shedding those rays, it would kind of sometimes back up on you a little bit, give you trouble. People like to mimic Christians. Now that there is danger near, more people are being drawn back to church. And that in itself is good. 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. How is your confidence? What do you have your confidence in? You tell me and I can tell you about yourself. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. It will bring you that reward. So we see that word illuminated. It is an action. It happens in Christianity. It happens when one becomes a Christian. They feel the Father. And the Father feels you as well. It's family. And again, think of it not necessarily as a verb, but a word of action. You just are that one that will shed rays. But I'm going to warn you, don't ever forget where they come from, where we draw our light from. That's very important. We draw that from Almighty God, because it is His light reflecting through you that makes the difference. Because what He's done for you, He will do for others. Okay, He'll do for whomsoever will believe and faith and have trust in Him. I want to go to another place where this same word basically is used, this word of action, what it is Christians are to do. Go with me to the book of Luke. New Testament Gospel of Luke. Let's take chapter 11 of the great book of Luke. We're just going to be a little bit light today. We've been teaching about terrorism and war. We're going to kind of get back to some basics here about what kind of light we're supposed to shine forth. And Luke chapter 11, I want to pick it up with verse 29. And Luke chapter 11, verse 29 reads, "But when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet.'" Well, what sign was given to Jonas? That he would be in the tomb, whale's belly, 3 days and three nights, and then he was going to be coughed up. And then, as much as the Ninevites worshipped a fish god, what would you do if a great big old fish created by God coughed up a man and that's your God? You know, you're going to say, "Whoa, God help us, this is a real thing." Okay? Well, the tomb was going to do Christ that way. It was going to hold him 3 days and three nights. And he was coming out of there. That's spectacular. That's fantastic that he defeated death and was resurrected. That's all you're going to get, friend. That's it. And he's the one, I mean, the total sacrifice. There is no other. It's all been laid out. It's all been sacrificed. You're either enlightened to that fact, given off rays of repetition, helping others to see within that framework, and hey, it'll change an evil old world like the one we have today even. So, that's it. Verse 30, "And as Jonas was assigned to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." He's it. "The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation." That's Queen Sheba. Why? "And condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Son of God was there. "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." When he split that veil from top to bottom and opened the Holy of Holies for you to walk into, that's awesome. You're illuminated. You're a child of God. 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Light dispels darkness, and there's that word light again, phos, okay? Akin to the word we spoke of. It's going to show up here in a minute, and I'll call your attention to it. And usually it has reference to you when that word enlightenment is used or illuminated. Verse 34, "The light of the body is the eye." Now this is not deep, so don't make it deep. The light of the body, the light of your body, is the eye. "Therefore, when thine eye is single," translate it clear, when it's seeing clearly, and this has nothing to do with whether one is handicapped with blindness or not, their spiritual eyes a lot stronger. Thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. You know, it's an amazing thing that when someone is possessed, if you're a discerner, whereby you have to cast out evil spirits by the power of Jesus Christ, you don't do it. Don't ever think for a minute you can do it. You have power to do it in His name. I wish you could. I wish you had. Well, I kind of don't wish you had the experience. I hope you're never faced with it, quite frankly. But to see an eye actually change and go from dark to clear, meaning you know the evil is gone because Christ took it. And when the pupil begins to dilate work properly instead of being dilated, then you know the evil spirit is gone. I'm not talking about drugs now. Okay, you understand? I'm talking about evil spirits. So that's why a Christian's eye, that's why people like to visit with a Christian when they're in trouble, if they're given good, solid advice. Your eye actually mirrors your soul, meaning your eye tells what kind of person you are. And is it not amazing? Of course, this is kind of a digression, but they're working with the computer that it recognizes the pupil of your eye, because everyone's is different, basically, just like your fingerprints. But your eye does mirror your soul. Now, that's not biblical. It's just that thought hits my mind when I hear things like that, you know. And it's amazing, they say all you have to do to beat it for the whole face is smile. I got news for you. A person can change their whole countenance by smiling occasionally, you know. Be an old sour, whatever it is they call them, you know, and see one break forth and smile. It's fantastic. You know, just a countenance change. But your eye actually shows your enlightenment. That's what I want you to see. It shines out on people. It can comfort or change people. It can give them hope. Why? Because you're drawing from the true light, which is to say, Almighty God. Verse 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Boy, I mean, it do make a difference. It does make a difference. This is why when you're trying to convince someone of a negative thing and it turns positive and their eyes brighten, beloved, that's no accident. That's the way it is. The eye is the mirror of the soul. Boy, my mama could sure tell by my eyes. If I started telling her a story when I was caught, I mean bad caught, she would look right into my eyes. And if her reply, if it was Arnold, that wasn't too bad. But if she said, Arnold Benjamin Murray, I knew my eyes had done told the truth. And I was in bad trouble. I wasn't that bad of a kid. I want you little ones to know that, okay? Bad enough, I guess, but we won't go into that. Anyway, eyes mirror the soul. And let your eyes be bright, okay, shining forth the truth that lies within you, which is to say the truth of Almighty God. Verse 36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And of course, this word light, finishing that verse, is for zidzo, okay, for tidzo, okay. And you want to be real careful too. I have found in living in these flesh bodies that sometimes your own conscience can have blind spots in the eye, okay? It can say, oh, well, it's all right for me to do it, but no one else should. You know, that's kind of a blind spot in the clarity of the eye. You want to be careful. I know none of you have that. I know you don't have to worry about it. Sometimes I do, but maybe that's because I teach quite a bit, and it puts me on a guilt trip sometimes when It doesn't put me on a guilt trip, but I want you to know that the Bible does correct me just like it does anyone else. If you think being a teacher of the Word makes you any different, you are mistaken. All right? Everything is common to everybody. Okay? So, but let me tell you something. Don't you ever, when you're teaching, dare skip over a verse or a chapter that might convict you. You teach it just as strong as you do any other chapter, or God will nail thee to thy wall. Okay? He will fix your wagon big time. So when you teach God's Word, you teach all of it. Okay? Okay, well, you know, how many preachers do we have? I feel like I'm talking to preachers today. I shouldn't be doing that. But you know, there are none of them standing up, that's for sure. I'll tell you one thing. Our mailing list is like who's who in reverends and bishops and all of it. You name it. Fathers and the whole thing, you know, that study with us. And that's fine. I'm not a name dropper. And hey, it's God's Word. It's for everybody. I never kick about it, never complain. And I think it's great that He illuminates. So that word light there is the word that means to give off rays. And is to teach to give light even. It's a big word. And it has a beautiful meaning. So when you read that, let me read that verse again that we be sure and catch it. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. That candle will reach out there and send rays out whereby you can read what you're looking at. That candle will reach out there and let you pick up a thimble or a needle. And so will Christ in your life help you to reach out and pick up broken hearts. It'll help you to reach out and shine rays and to be able to soothe a troubled mind. That's what it's all about. And that's what the word means, to give, not to take, but to give off. That's what Christ did on the cross. And that's what you become a part of. Okay, I think let's go to the book of Matthew while we're here in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 5, okay? Christ has just given the Beatitudes here, whereby, starting with verse 3 through 11, it says, blessed. The Greek word is happy. I don't know, are you happy? It says people that do these things are happy. Okay, so if you ever get unhappy, it's good for you to go to this chapter 5 and read where it says, blessed are they that. And do those things, and you'll be happy. You'll get real happy about it, all right? Might take a little time. Okay, we're going to pick this up. Let's see where I want to go here. We're going to skip the Beatitudes. I want to go to verse 12. And concerning light, that's our subject, okay, and to illuminate. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Don't ever worry that somebody gives you a hard time for being a Christian. Just smile and walk away. We're not trying to convert the world, just those that want to hear. Right? We're not hard up for people to listen to us. You understand what I mean? Don't think you have to beg. Christ doesn't. Christ doesn't send out beggars either. God's real. He'll work it for you. Okay? Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. This is kind of what you are, and I thought you should have a real good handle on it. Do you know what salt is? Boy, it's salty. Woo. You know, you can have somebody that can bake the best biscuits in the world. They just float out of the oven, kind of like mine. Okay, an old bachelor uncle taught me how to make biscuits, and I tell you what, ladies, don't ever challenge me. I'm good when it comes to biscuits. But you leave the salt out and what? Yuck. It's bland. Have you ever shaken hands with somebody that wasn't salty? Like a dead fish, you know? Oh, what a personality that dude's got, you know? And I'm not talking about handicapped people that might have arthritis and they're tipping you off you shouldn't break their hand or cause them pain. I just mean people that have no problem other than they're just a wet noodle, okay? I mean, it's terrible, but it's true, right? You know, be salty, all right? You're somebody. You are a child of God. Salt makes a difference. When it appears, when you put it in water, that water changes. It's salty after that, okay? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, that means your flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? I mean, what good is it? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You just throw it out in the street, all right? And that's all it's fit for. That's why the light is important, beloved, is you do make a difference. Your eye makes a difference. Verse 14, this is why we came here now. Ye are the light, that's the phos, ye are the light of the world. Now grab hold to that. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an high and hill cannot be hid. In other words, let your light shine. Be a little salty about it. Now again, you know, always as a teacher, I like to emphasize, I'll be the light of the world. I'll be pretty special then. No, he that shines through you is, okay? That's what you want to get. You want to keep all that under control. Because, you see, there's a very important English word connected with the Greek in describing illumination. It's give. Give light. Give help. Give rays. Give encouragement. The word give, okay, is in it, okay? So if you are God, if you are the light of the world, and you are, okay, that truth shines forth from those that follow Christ, all right? That's all it's really saying. But where else does the world have to look to for truth except from you and the Word of God? That's why you accept Christianity. And I'm not telling you to become some religious fanatic and go home and crank out a bunch of leaflets and go down to wherever on the corner and say, do you love Jesus? Here, take this, you know, and be a religious fanatic, all right? No, if God wants you to witness, he'll send someone your way. And if they ask you a question, plant a seed. Don't dump the whole load on them. I mean, just if you take that salt shaker and screw the lid off of it and say, here, sucker, you're salty now, all right? Don't do people. Just sprinkle a little bit, all right? Be gentle. That's the way you fish for men, just like you fish for fish. Don't throw the anchor at them, just enough to kind of keep them coming along there if God can use them, all right? Okay, you're the light of the world. That's your duty. This all hinges right back to you that recognize the day when it approaches, do you? You see, you got something to do then. God wants you to stand against the false one. And when you stand against the false one, that allows the Holy Spirit, not you, but the Holy Spirit, to really shine that light through, and you're going to make a difference. I don't care who you are. Well, I don't know the Bible very well. Well, you know it well enough to be illuminated, all right? You know it well enough to know you're not going to worship the false Messiah. Therefore, he can use you, and you don't have to know that much because he's the one that's going to be doing the talking, not you, okay? You're the light of the world. But you reflect that from he that paid the price on the cross. 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Don't hide your light. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. They can do it. 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he is that fulfillment. And you have the eyes to see that and to know it. Okay? To know the difference between ordinances and ceremonies and law. And that you abide those, that pleases him. And more light is given. The rays go out stronger. And you touch people. And they accept that light. So it's a wonderful thing to be one of God's elect and to be chosen. It doesn't make you any better than anyone else. But it sure makes you a wonderful, loving soul to Almighty God. Just simply to know. And seed planting is one of the most important parts of God's Word. Is for the layperson, when a neighbor's in trouble, help them. I don't mean give them $20, all right? When you give them the $20, it'll be gone tomorrow. Give them a word of truth that'll be with them forever. Okay, that'll help them know how to get by. Okay, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Let's go just a little further with this. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to put in a couple of verses here or so, or another place, we're going to put some parameters on this, letting us know how it is we're to handle this. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now, all of you know this is the Mount of Transfiguration. This is where Christ was transfigured, and Moses and Elijah joined him. So the apostles could see this to know, and we're not supposed to talk about this, he would tell them later on in this chapter, until after he had resurrected. What do they see in these transfigured bodies? Verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. That word light is phos. It's the prime word of the word we translated illuminated, all right? The prime, the action, the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, which is to say Elijah in the Hebrew, talking with him. Now there we see one that represents the prophets and one that represents the law. Hey, they're there. They're not dead, friend. They were with him. And very much alive, for God is the God of the living, not the dead, okay? 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Man's always got to divide, doesn't he? It's like, let's make 3 churches here, a Pentecostal, Baptist, and something else, you know? Well, let's make all 3 of them here, you know. That's what, they have 3 different places to worship. Well, we've got one Lord, okay? Anyway, that's what he said. The words just slipped out there. I guess he didn't think about the Methodist, the Baptist, and the Pentecostal. I don't know. But anyway, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. 5. Now listen carefully. This is why we came here. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud. That bright is photinos. Okay, from phos. The bright cloud did what? The bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Where does that light come from? From God. Okay, God was in the cloud. That documents it. I mean, he spoke from it. All right. There was only one Father to the Son, and that was God himself, Yahweh. Okay. And it was a very bright cloud. And it was a giving cloud. I don't want to go through it all again, but it gave off rays. It gave off help. It gave off what you need. to be a light to the world. 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. But Jesus, of course, encouraged them, arise and be not afraid. But there it was. Why did I want to bring you here to this place? Because this lets you know who the original light bearer is. Even to this day, it's Almighty God. He was in that cloud. Do you know, it was just like he had that pillar of fire when they crossed the Red Sea and in the desert and at night to warm them and to give them light. Well, that's symbolic of today. That pillar is still there if your spiritual eyes can just pick up on it. He's giving off that light. That bright cloud is still there. It's giving off truth and light. If you only open your spiritual eyes and see it and feel it, and it's all based on this word, his word. That's why he gave it. He said, this is my beloved son. And he means follow him. Do what he says. And then naturally he's going to bless you. And again, don't forget, ye are the light of the world. That's an awesome responsibility, beloved. It is. He's counting on you. Why do you think he chose you? Just because he had a number? No, because he knows what you're made out of. Nobody else might not know, but he does. He knows you can cut it. He knows you can get it done. He knows that when it's too rough for everybody else, you're going to say, let's roll it. Let's get it done. We can do it. He will show us the way. All right, 'cause he that's his promise. He will always give you a way. Sometimes it unfortunately says a way out, but okay. That's when things get rough in your life, always have an HA trail. Okay? That means whole appetite. Okay, or something. And God will lead thee. Okay. 1 Corinthians, let's go there and let's see what Paul might teach on this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, we want to put a few parameters on this. Paul kind of brings things into shape here. And let's see what he has to say. I mean, after all, you're the light of the world, right? You're salty. You are you. Let's see what Paul says about us being us. I think you probably know where I'm going here, but let's better see where Paul's going. 4, let no man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let man so account of us. Let him look at us that way. That's okay. We know God's secrets. Paul was a great teacher of the mystery of God, too. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Boy, don't ever fall. If some old boy comes out teaching one thing one week and he changes that because he heard somebody else teach something different the next week, he's like a reed in the wind. You don't want to be that. Stick with God's word. It never changes, okay? And I've got news for you. It's not even going to change in the world to come. That's documented. Be faithful, okay? Not wishy-washy. 3, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. In other words, there were a lot of people that said, that Paul is nuttier than a squirrel. He is a genuine fruitcake. What Paul is saying here, do you think I care what they say about me being a steward of the word? Shoot, no. I don't care what they say. Okay? Paul knew he was right. That causes you to be bold and confident when you know what you're talking about. Many people will misunderstand a person that knows the word well enough to speak out boldly as being a little brash. Well, it's not brashness. It's truth, okay? Paul is simply saying, I could care less. Don't care what they think or say. Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. Now, this kind of take the air out of your sails if you ever want to get up real high. He said, Paul says, for me, I don't know nothing. All right? Yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judges me is the Lord. The Lord is judge of all. Don't be judging people. This is why I'm already repenting that I mentioned three other churches' names, because you never hear me do that, okay? But it was in jest, all right? I wasn't condemning them. Never judge anyone. There may be a special reason they're that way that you don't know about. Just know that your Father is able to judge all, okay? 5, therefore judge nothing or criticize nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light, there's that word again, light, okay, the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, minds, and then shall every man have praise of God. Why? He's fair. He's always fair. Always equal. Gives everybody an even break. I mean, somebody can't tell a false witness against you in judgment and have it stand, because God knows your heart. He knows your mind. Okay? So you're not going to get any bad reports there. God is judge. All right? And the judge say, okay, you go this way or you go that way. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos. Apollos was a good preacher, teacher, all right? He said, I've transferred these things to us for your sakes. Now, that's why we're saying we be teachers. Not for our sakes, but for your sakes, he's saying. Now, hang on with it here. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Let everybody realize and know, Paul is saying, myself, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament, I'm no different than any of you. Man is man, and truth is truth, and God's word is God's word. God's light is God's light. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Which one of you is the smartest? Okay. Which one of you knows the most? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now hang on to that thought. Just, if you have something, did you get it from God or not? If you didn't get it from God, you ought not be teaching it with a spiritual aspect, okay? In other words, if you've got a gift, where did it come from? That's what he's saying. It came from God, of course. Now, if thou didst receive it, if God gave it to you, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You know? It came from God, and here Paul is kind of saying, some of them walk around and say, I know this right by letter by letter. I have a memory that I can recall scripture. Bang, 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 bang. Ain't I something? There's just one problem. God gives gifts. God gives gifts of memory and able to handle scripture. Man, this man or no other man can claim it. Okay. In other words, it goes back to that light, give, raise, give truth. Paul said, we took this on ourselves to help you. But it was given from God. And what makes you any different, God gives it to you to share with others. It is the light. It is the truth. It is the knowledge. And we are one family. And we all the joints neatly fit together, whereby we get the job done. We salt the water. We salt the citizens, all right? And we make it successful. Verse 8, now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. This is kind of said in irony. He said, you think you have reigned, okay? Paul was teasing him. It's said in irony. So, you're the light of the world, all right? But don't ever forget where you got the light from, all right? Don't forget, if God gives you a special gift, it's no accident. You've got a destiny and a purpose. Use it. But always give God the glory and God the praise, for He is very deserving. All right, we're going to leave here and we're going to go to 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, we're going to go to 2 Timothy. See there, never trust your own memory. We're going to be here just a short time in this particular verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's pick it up with verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, love, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Whoa, that's heavy. But it's not for one of God's elect, okay, to be chosen. 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. He defeated it, one and all times, and hath brought life and immortality to light. That's the same word translated illuminated. Brought immortality. Do you know what that is? That's deathlessness. Okay, akinesia in the Greek. Deathlessness. He made it possible. Many of you think you lose relatives. Don't sell yourself short. You didn't lose them. He gained them. All right. They're alive and well. Immortality to light through the gospel. That's the purpose. Through the gospel, it gives life. It gives light. And you're a light bearer. You're just a bright candlestick in the spiritual sense that gives off this light. And the Irish kicked up on me just then. You know what I started to say? It's terrible. Being an Irishman is not fun too much sometimes. Sometimes fragrance need be changed in candles. Okay? Isn't that terrible? But that thought hit my mind, you know, because I know somebody that's experimenting with candles in different flavors. Some of them are, well. Give light and let your light shine. That's what He sent you for, okay? And I suppose why that thought comes to mind, what He might give someone else light might, you may not agree with that 100%. But you see, God is the judge, and it isn't our right to judge what flavor or anything else someone else might fire up here, all right, or shine out. You're responsible for yourself. And if it's good, it's going to be good anyway. Give it that opportunity to work. I want to do one more in closing. It's real short. It's right in the last chapter of the entire Bible, our Bible, the King James, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. You know what's happening here? We're already in the eternity. We're past the millennium here, all right? And there's a tree there that gives off 12 manners of fruit in heaven that keeps people from being bored in the eternity or sick or anything else, and that's the tree of life, which is to say Christ Himself. So you're there, all right? So you have to transport yourself to that spiritually so you can understand what we're saying here, okay? Verse 4 of chapter 22, the great book of Revelation. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Now, if they can see His face, what does that mean? They're in that dimension. All right? You got to think about dimensions to understand our Father. Okay, he could be a lot nearer than you think. It's just that you wouldn't see him. But what I'm saying is, in other words, it said, no man has seen the face of God and lived. Well, you can't. You can't see God's face in the flesh because it's a different dimension. You got to die, and then you see his face. All right. Now, God can override that if he so chooses. All right? That's why he sent the Son. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there. We're talking about forever. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. There it is right there. Photizo. The rays. God gives it. Gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Reign means to teach, to control. And that is that light that does control. I think that gets the subject. I want you to make a note for your own benefit. In the light that there is only one sacrifice, in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, the same word is translated enlightened. The message is the same. Once you've been enlightened, then you can't turn your back on him because he's the only salvation, only sacrifice. There is no other that can forgive sins. You can go out and burn 100 white faces, and all you're going to do is be burning 100 white, that's cattle, okay, up. It's not going to do anything, okay, but burn cattle. Christ took the place of all that. He is our sacrifice and our light giver for one and all times. And then probably another place, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And it's the plan of God and how you enter into it. I advise that as a personal additional study. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And always remember, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, God chose you before the foundations of this earth to fill his plan and purpose. If you are enlightened, if you are illuminated, back this up with your Strong's Concordance that will do the translating of the Greek for you, and it will assist you in understanding the etymology of the word. Well, perhaps not the etymology, but the correct translation of the word, whereby you see the action within it. It's a doer type word. It means you become a doer in that you can't help giving off the fragrance and the light of God, that sweet flow of spirit that changes people's lives, that makes a difference in this troubled world. And I suppose that most of all, it's the way you find eternal life. My friend, this is a wonderful age. These old flesh bodies are not bad, man. I mean, you got fingerprints here that you like tread on tires, you can pick stuff up and everything, you know, and when they're operating good all the time, they feel good. But it's not the best. We've got an inner body that's tenfold over and over and over much better that we'll be happy in for the eternity. So work toward that eternity. It's important. It's so ever important. And you know, if God chose you before the foundations of the earth, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and you're going to do a little homework and go ahead and fit the 18th verse in with that, I'm not going to for you, okay? It'll make you feel better all over, and it lets you know that if God chose you before the foundation, he must have chose some of these other people. Where were y'all? What were y'all doing? Okay, I mean, just a little food for thought, okay? Don't make any more of that out of it. We're still, unfortunately, sinners, trying to do better every day, falling short and getting down, not necessarily on your knees, just say, oh, Lord, I did it again. I just feel bad about it. He'll take you and he'll say, child, don't worry. You're a messy one, but I'll help you with it. Okay. Oh, he's good. He's got patience. Okay. But remember your light and let it shine, you know. And let me tell you something. When it comes to this age and what you all are going through now with looking at a letter and or the thing with the buildings, that was bad. But let me tell you something. You're not experiencing even what trouble is, okay, in defending this country. We've got some old boys over in Afghan already been dropped off over there in a dark night. You want to remember them that that light comes down. Now, that can be trouble. That can get to be trouble. And they're doing it for you. And like my old buddy back here that was a Chosun, they had bad plans for us up at the Chosun Reservoir. But thank God it didn't work out to their flavor. Now, that's trouble. You got it easy. And it's a good life. So don't thank God for it. And no, we've got everything under control because He has everything under control. Okay? That way you make good Christian soldiers to stand up and represent Him and let His light shine through you, whereby it really looks like you're the light to the world. But it's really coming from Him, and aren't you proud of that and thankful for it? Of course you are. Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. Be with us, we ask it. Be with our troops, Father, wherever they may be. And watch over them, guide them, bless them, and take care of the evil, Father. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was, did you realize that?